you know, our guards up and ready to fight and ready to just take down everything that comes, you know, like the missile that fires up and takes another missile out of the sky. You know, that's not the idea here. But the idea is that through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have an awareness of situations. And especially when something is, it goes awry a little bit, or something is off kilter, that we would be aware of this happening and that we would be able to deal with it in a godly fashion.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Apes in a Church. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Apes in a Church.
Provoking events, they are out there, they are waiting, that ape. This ape right here, now somebody said he was Mighty Joe Young, and somebody said he was somebody else. You know, whoever he is, I'm the ape. This ape is here. He's here. And he's waiting to pounce. He's waiting to jump. He's in your home. I mean, oh, he's in your home. You know, the very little anxiety-producing thing can be taken to a whole another level. Personality clashes. People who have different personality. Well, this is just the way I am. If you can't accept it, then you just need to deal with it. Tell God that and see how it works. Take that to God. Tell God what you just now said and see how that works before Him. Right? And we see in Philippians chapter 4, there were two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, who many people believe it was a personality clash that they had. And because they had this personality clash, they couldn't get along. And Paul said, I beseech you, somebody in the church at Philippi, pull these two ladies together for the gospel's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul said, these ladies labored with me in serving in the ministry. And now they can't even get along with each other. They can't even speak with each other. I don't know what the anxiety-producing event was, but there was some anxiety-producing event that caused them to not speak. And so just look. And so let me ask this question. Have you been involved with an anxiety-producing event? I mean, there's many more. There's many more, but just these right here. Have you been involved? And how did you respond? Well, there are several ways that you can respond. You can respond like a snake, right? When an anxiety-producing event takes place, you can respond like a snake. These individuals are called snakes because they strike back and inject their venom into the other person. Oh, man, it grieves my heart. And I believe it grieves the heart of God when he sees two saints getting at it, going at it. Again, in a negative way. Now, I think that there's a time for healthy discussion and to talk through things and to work through things. No question about that. But I don't think God is pleased, whether it's in the home, whether it's on your job, or even in the church, when things are handled in a negative way. And then all you do is take your fangs and you stick them in that other person and you spew your poison out into them. And it happens. It happens. And that's not the way God would have us to respond. Then there are the skunks, right, who are involved in an anxiety-producing event, and instead of dealing with it the right way, what do? You know what so-and-so did to me? Man, you know, I knew they was no good anyways. I knew they had some issues anyways. And now you done got your little posse, right, that you done sprayed all over, and they walking around with your stink. And so that's the skunk. That's the way people respond to anxiety-producing events. And then there's the turtles. And some of this, you know, I preached this message years ago, and I've completely changed it. But some of the terminology, like the skunks and the turtles, that was back then. So, you know, I've added some things since then. All right? The turtles, what do? They go somewhere, and they stick their head in their shell, and they just don't want to be bothered. They just don't want to have to deal with it. And so, negative way of dealing with the ape. But God would have us to be like the owl. And what is one of the things that we know about the owl? And that is the wise old owl. So whenever there is something that happens that God wants me to deal with it in a wise way. But too often, people get in the flesh and they deal with it from a fleshly standpoint. You know, they sometimes people deal with things out of their own hurt. And we all heard it said that hurt people hurt people, right? God wants us to exercise wisdom. Y'all thank God for those two saints that day who the other saint told to shut up. And they dealt with it and got it behind them. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. So how do we deal with these apes in the church? In order to fight an ape, you got to get another ape. You got to fight the apes with the apes. All right? So you fight the anxiety-producing events with another ape. And the first thing is to acknowledge. If you look at your notes, acknowledge. Speaking to the church in Corinth concerning forgiving a repentant brother, Paul admonishes them to forgive him. Failing to do so would give Satan an advantage, and then Paul says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Even if Satan does not cause an ape, he can escalate it and cause it to go in a bad direction. Therefore, we should not be ignorant of his devices. The first thing that we need to do is acknowledge that this is an ape. This was some time ago, right? Somebody said something to me that was very, very hurtful. And right then, I acknowledged it. I right when it was happening, right at the time that it happened, I said, because you know how you know something sometimes is an anxiety-producing event? Because emotionally, you know, emotionally, something happens to you. And something happened, and I wanted so bad to put my salvation on the shelf. I wanted so bad to go back to be not Pastor Glaze, but Bunny Glaze. And the only thing I could come up with, you know, that was not very nice. That was not very nice. Because I realized at that very moment that that was an anxiety-producing event. And when it happens, we need to be able to recognize when it happens. And saints, that's why we need to be walking with God. We need to be spending time in the presence of the Lord. We need to have our relationship right with God. Because I guarantee you that if you're right with God, as soon as it happens, you're going to know. See, the problem is that it happens and we push past it. We don't say, wow, that's an ape. Look, what just happened? That's an ape. But we try to push past it. But if we will recognize it, then we'll be able to deal with it. And Paul said that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. That Satan got a whole bunch of devices. And one of his devices is an anxiety-producing event. Like I said, whether he causes it or not, he will jump in the middle of it and cause that thing to just grow and escalate and get out of hand. And so we need to realize that the first thing, we got to acknowledge it. And that's why it is incumbent that we have what the Bible calls discernment. You got to have a discerning spirit. What is a discerning spirit? A discerning spirit is being able to tell when something is off kilter. You know, I gave this illustration years ago, but in England, they would, whenever there was a rat in the castle, they would bring in these hound dogs. And these hound dogs, if there was no rat there, they would just go through the castle and live the ordinary life of a hound dog. But whenever there was a rat, the hound dog would. And so we get the expression from that, what? I smell a rat. I smell a rat. Right? And whenever an anxiety-provoking event happens, that if we have a discerning spirit, the first thing that should come to my mind, I smell a rat. Something is not right. Something is off kilter. And so we need to be able to recognize that it happened. The second thing, if we're going to fight a gorilla with a gorilla, we got to pray. We got to pray. What does James 1:5 says? If any of you lack wisdom when dealing with an ape, let him pray and ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When an ape occurs, if I'm in a meeting, if I'm one-on-one with a person, that I ought to immediately turn to the Lord and I ought to whisper a prayer to the Lord. Now, I don't need to say, I rebuke you, talking to the other person, in the name of Jesus, let me get down on my knees and pray. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You can, I don't know about you, but I think people have the uncanny ability to be able to talk to someone and be praying at the same time. And so if I sense that this has happened, then immediately in my spirit, I need to go to prayer. But see, a lot of times, what are we doing? We're trying to figure out our response. We're trying to figure out how we're going to come back. We're trying to deal with the fact that I'm hurting right now, and let me find a way to be a skunk or be a turtle or be a snake instead of praying. The most powerful weapon that you have when an ape shows up on the scene, the most powerful weapon is prayer. And you need to pray. And so in the notes, here's a couple things. Lord, let me be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me wisdom, give me the wisdom to respond in a way that pleases you. I remember one time I was in a meeting and I was just being tore up one side and down the other. And I just started praying. And the Lord spoke to my spirit, and the Lord said, don't interrupt. Just let the person finish. Don't interrupt. And I felt in my spirit, because, man, don't interrupt. Just let the person finish. Lord, you need to teach me. Show me what to say. Lord, I don't know what to say. And after they got finished, the Lord put it in my spirit to just say, I accept responsibility for some of the things that you said. And the things that I accept the responsibility for, I can work on and I can change. But there are some other things that are here that needs to be worked on together. And you know, at that point, whatever tension, whatever anger, whatever, I just saw it kind of diffuse. I just saw it diffuse. No, I'm not. Is that a guarantee? I'm not going to say that's going to happen every time. I'm just saying that I was praying. And as I was praying, I felt the Lord putting in my spirit the things that he wanted me to say. I felt him putting in my spirit the way that he wanted me to respond. And so when you deal with an ape, prayer, you got to fight an ape with an ape. And then exercise holiness. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We've got to exercise holiness. Notice he says perfecting holiness or practicing holiness. You know, again, I've said it here before. Somebody said practice makes perfect, and that's the biggest lie. That's the biggest lie that anybody has ever told. Practice don't make anybody perfect, because if you're practicing it the wrong way, you're going to do it the wrong way. What makes perfect? Perfect practice makes perfect. And so you got to practice it perfect if you're going to do it perfect. And so here he says that what is the way that believers practice perfect? By being holy, by doing something that's holy and righteous. Notice, again, I refer you back to the notes. The first thing is that you got to take control of the situation and don't let the situation take control of you. You got to take control of your spirit. And not, you know, Proverbs talks about the fact that a person who can't control their spirit is like a city with the walls broke down. So your natural inclination is going to want to go off up in here. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm about to go upside your head. That's the natural inclination. But you got to take control. You got to say to yourself, you know, you are not going to control me. This event, this thing that happened is not going to control me. It's not going to cause me to go off emotionally. It's not going to cause me to say something that I'm going to regret. It's not going to cause me to go up and pop somebody upside the head. No, it's not going to cause me to do any of those things, because I'm taking control of the situation. Am I angry? Yeah. Am I hurt? Yeah. You can't deny that. I'm not saying to deny that. But what did Paul say? Paul said in Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. You can be angry. You can be upset. You can be hurt. But you don't have to sin. You don't have to do something that's wrong or something that you're going to regret. And then, as we practice holiness, you know, I'm practicing. See, if I'm practicing and I cuss somebody out, then that's not perfect practice. But if I'm practicing and I control my response, hey, I'm practicing perfect. You know, one thing that I found is that, and sometimes you got to be careful how you do this, but I find just whenever an event happens, just breathe. Just, you know what? That's going to stop you long enough, hopefully, from not practicing perfect, not practicing holy. Just to stop in that moment and just catch your breath and just okay, all right. I'm still angry. I'm still hurt. But I'm in control. Right. Because if I do this, I'm in control. I can control that. You know, it's just like, have you ever been in intense fellowship with somebody in your family? Y'all going at it hard and heavy, right? And the phone rings. Cello. Right? You've been at another level with somebody. And just a millisecond ago, you've been on another level. And just that quick, you took it down. You can control it. You can control it. And then bring to mind a meaningful verse. What's your favorite verse of scripture? You know, my favorite verse, I sign all my books. Blessed is the man who walketh not under counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And just the Psalm 1:1-3, just to begin to run through your mind one of your favorite verses and see if it don't. That anxiety. Because what happened? Anxiety. You've just been overwhelmed by something. You've just had an attack. You've had an anxiety attack. We got to de-escalate. We got to bring it down. Bring up your favorite verse. Or bring up your favorite song. Bring up whatever your favorite song is. My soul has been anchored in the Lord, right? I love that song. The billows may roll, the breakers may dash. I shall not sway because he holds me fast. So dark the day, clouds in the sky. I know it's all right because my Jesus is mine. My soul, anxiety, my soul, anxiety, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. And as we begin to fight apes with other apes, we will see that they disappear. Again, the objective of this message today, you know, there's a whole nother issue on reconciliation. I'm not dealing with reconciliation. I'm just dealing this morning with how do you deal with the event in the heat of the moment, in the passion of the moment. How do you deal with that? So just remember, ape, acknowledge that it's there, pray, and then exercise holiness.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Hard Questions. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Apes in a Church, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Apes in the Church. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Apes in the Church. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.